Last part of Ezekiel, God is showing the prophet what's to come. In chapter 47, in fact, in the previous three or four chapters, Ezekiel is with a man that the Bible says has a line in his hand, and it's a what we would call the tape measure. It's a line that he knew how long was. And they're at the temple, and they're at the door of the temple that points eastward. Now, if you go back and you read in the previous couple, three chapters, you'll find that that is the door that Jesus comes through. And they shut the door, and no man enters it because that's the door reserved for him. And they're standing by this door, and there's water coming from underneath the door trickling out. And as we read, the man with the line measures 1,000 cubits. Cubit is a measurement that was basically from the tip of your finger to the end of your elbow. It averaged between 15 and 20 inches, and most of the time when the Bible talks about it, they use 18 inches. So 1,000 cubits would be about 1,500 feet. And so the man measured 1,000 cubits, and Ezekiel said we went into the water, and it was up to our ankles. He measured another 1,000 cubits, and we went into the water, and it was up to our knees. He measures another 1,000 cubits, and we walked through the water, and it was up to our loins, up into our thighs, up close to our waist. And then he said he measured another 1,000 cubits, and he said we went through the water, and it was a stream, a river, however you want to say it, that was over our heads, a water to swim in. And tonight, and I know sometimes when you read a book like Ezekiel, a lot of things in there, you don't know exactly what they mean, and I know I'll admit that when I read some in the book of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, Daniel, some of the latter parts of Daniel, and then in Isaiah, there are parts I have to dig my concordance out and my study books out because I have no idea what the Bible's talking about. But tonight, I want to use these five verses and this walk through the water, so to speak, to make six points altogether that have an application for how we can use this passage of Scripture and apply it to our life. Number one, a good place to get the blessings of God for a Christian is at church. Of course, now the temple, I'm letting the temple represent church, and the waters, many times in the Bible, represent the blessings of God. And I know that God can bless you anywhere. I know that He can bless you when you're by yourself out in the woods. I know that He can bless you in your homes and when it's just you or you and your spouse or you and your family. I know that He can bless in many, many different places, but there's certain blessings that you're only going to get when you come to a church. That's why I think it's so important that when little babies are born, that the first thing their parents do is bring them to church. That's why I think it's so important that when those little babies turn into little children, 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 year olds, that moms and dad keep them in church. That's why I think it's important that those in the first grade, in the second grade, in the third grade schoolers, all the way up through the sixth grade, that they are made to come to church. And I know people say, well, you're violating a child's psyche when you make them come. And I'll just tell you, my dad told my brothers and I, as long as you eat my food and have your feet underneath my table, you're going to go to church. And that was true when we were in first through the sixth grade, and that was also true when we were in high school. And when I was in college, of course, Dad didn't have to make me go to church when I was in college. He had to make my brother go. He was a heathen, but anyhow, as long as he had his feet underneath Dad's table, he had to go to church. And so first through sixth graders, you ought to take them, make them go. Same thing's true when they get to junior high and senior high. And as much influence as you can bear over them when they're college age and when they're young people and young married, you ought to get your kids in church. And I know there are parents that are here tonight. We talked about it today that are praying for their kids to get into church. When you're in your middle years, you ought to stay in church. When you're in your senior years, you ought to stay in church. And I know you can study the Bible on your own. And I know that you can grow as a Christian on your own. And I know that you can get the blessings of God on your own. But again, I will tell you, there are certain blessings that you will only get as a part of a New Testament church. And I was thinking this afternoon of some of the ways that I was blessed today. Brother Leonard was teaching in Sunday school about Caleb and Joshua and how they encouraged the people to go into the promised land. And all the 10 other spies said, oh no, the cities are too big and they're walled and there's giants. And he mentioned the fact that Joshua and Caleb rent their clothes. And I just got to thinking about that. And I just wanted to be a little boy and raise my hand and say, Brother Leonard, when they rented their clothes, how much did they get for them? And when they gave them away, when they rented them out, what did they wear? I just wanted to be a little boy and ask that question. Where else? You couldn't get that blessing if you weren't here this morning and thought like a crazy guy, like I thought. Where else could you get a blessing of a preacher being rebuked by a little two-year-old? I don't know if you heard it this morning, but when I was up here kneeling down, we were taking our picture. I said to the little kids, everybody look at Miss Candy. And little Logan Hopper, he said, after we got up to go, he said, why did he call you Miss Candy? Your name is Mrs. Gordon. And he rebuked his pastor, and I apologized to Mrs. Gordon after the service. I said, I'm sorry, I'll start calling you Mrs. Gordon in front of the children. That was a blessing to me. It was a blessing to me. I got to eat lunch with Brother Harold today, and we were talking about different things, and I don't know if it was Peggy or Betty asked the question, well, how many do we have in church? And I said, well, the guys that counted said we have 109. But let me tell you how these two guys count. I mean, Leonard takes a count and Larry takes a count. And invariably, they get a different number. Now, you can't see it because you're looking up this way, but I can see it. And so they can't agree on the count. So they take out a coin and said, heads, we go with yours and tails, we go with yours. And I told Brother Harold, he calls Brother Leonard Gooner. I think he had his teeth out one time, was trying to say Junior, but he calls him Gooner. I said, yeah, Gooner was back there. He had his shoes off and he had his fingers. And I said, I still have to go home and count. And sure enough, I went home and I just listed everybody that I saw here this morning. And there was 110, not 109. But you couldn't have got that blessing if you weren't here this morning. I got a blessing when I went putting the Lord's Supper away, and Adam says, hey, you got a cupcake left. You want a cupcake? Teresa makes cupcakes the first Sunday, and they celebrate the birthdays back in junior church. I said, yeah, I'd like to have a cupcake. So I just ate that cupcake in a couple bites, and I came out, and Brian said, you didn't eat the cupcake that somebody licked off the icing, did you? And I looked at Adam. I said, what did you do to me? It took them about 5 minutes, but I think they convinced me that it wasn't the one that somebody licked off the icing, but I'm not sure. It was a blessing to me when little Jenna came out, and Mrs. Gordon had given her a bag of goodies from the nursery, and she was standing there, and you know, people were lined up behind me, and she was taking out her little Bible book and a little picture of the world, and Tracy was saying, what are you doing? Do you want him to autograph all that stuff? And she just shook her head and she just kept pulling stuff out of that bag. And you can get a blessing like that if you weren't here. Couldn't get a blessing like I had when Mark came up to me after the service. I was standing back there and he shook my hand. He said, you know, when we first came here, we sat behind Earl and Millie. And I saw him take her shoes off for her. And I saw him cross her legs for her. And that was one of the first services that we were there. And he said, we didn't get to come to his funeral, but we were sure thinking about him that day. And in fact, he said, Amy asked me when we got old if I would do that for her. And before I heard the answer, somebody else came up. So I'm going to have to ask him next time I see him if he's going to do that. That was a blessing. And then at the end of the service, if you noticed, I called on Brother John to pray. I was sitting there, and he didn't start. And I said, John. And he held up his finger. The Holy Spirit had a hold of him, and he had to get himself together before he could pray. Now, you can study the Bible by yourself, and you can get God's blessings by yourself. But there are certain things that you will not get the blessings of God unless you're in a church like this. And so a good place to get the blessings of God is at church. Number two, the only way to get more blessings and the only way to keep growing is to keep moving. Ezekiel took a journey through the water. He went out 1,000 cubits and got blessings up to his ankles. He went another 1,000 cubits and got blessing up to his knees. He went another 1,000 cubits and got blessings up to his loins. He went another 1,000 cubits and got blessings that went over his head. The water got deeper, but only as he kept going forward. And I was thinking about the Sunday school lesson this morning. God blessed the Israelites and brought them up to the promised land. He told them to go in. He says, hey, I got more blessings over the Jordan River. You got to go in and get them. But they didn't have the faith to go in them, and they sort of went into a stall or a detour for 40 years. And it wasn't until they went forward across that river that they were able to get the blessings that God has prepared for them. And it's the same thing that's true in our life. God has blessings in front of us, but the only way we're going to get them is to keep moving forward. He has a whole pile of good things that he wants to bless our lives with and the lives of our family with, but they're in front of us. They're not behind us, and they don't come to us. We have to go to them. We have to keep moving forward. As Ezekiel was in the water, it felt pretty good when he went that first 1,000 cubits, but it was only felt pretty good from his ankles down. He had to go the next 1,000 cubits, and it felt pretty good from his knees down, but from his knees up, he was still dry and hot and didn't get the additional blessings that God had for him. Same thing, when he went the 3,000 cubits, it came up to his waist, and it felt pretty good from on the bottom part of his body, but the top part didn't have the blessings of God. It wasn't until he took the final 1,000-cubit trip that he got in over his head and got the blessings, that all the blessings that God had for him. And it's the same way with us. God wants to bless us, but he wants us to keep moving forward. He doesn't want us to stop. He doesn't want us to go backward. He says, I've got blessings for you, but they're out there ahead. So keep on going. Don't quit. Don't turn back. Keep going forward. Keep marching on, and I'll bless you. That's why Paul said, hey, I've forgotten about all those things that were behind me. Now, he was talking about the bad things that had happened in his life, but I think he was also talking about some of the good things. He says, I'm pressing onward. I want to go forward because the blessings that God has for me in the future are not back in the back. They're not where I am now. They're in front of me. And I'm going to keep going. I like that song. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. So church is a good place to get the blessings of God. We get the blessings of God as we keep moving forward. Number three, the first 1,000 cubits get us up to our ankles. Our feet are covered. And I think that represents us going and telling people about Jesus. When we get saved, after we get saved, and after we follow the Lord in baptism, the first thing that God wants us to do is to tell people about Jesus. First thing, say, oh no, Christians got to mature, Christians got to learn. No, no, no. The easiest time for you to tell somebody about Jesus is the moment you got saved, is the day you got saved, is the week that you got saved, is the month that you got saved. I was sharing my testimony with Brother Keith last week after he prayed and asked Jesus to be a Savior. I was encouraging him to make it public. I was encouraging him to take a stand for Christ. And I told him, I said, you know, I was just like you. I didn't want to go forward. My pastor took me in his office, and I prayed and received Christ as my Savior. And my pastor told me, he said, now, and we were in a revival. He said, now the next night, you need to walk down the aisle. You need to walk down the aisle. Doesn't matter if you're scared. Doesn't matter if you don't like to get in front of people. You need to walk down the aisle and take a stand for Christ and let people know that you've been saved. And so the next night, I walked down the aisle, and I think I've shared this with you before, right behind me was my younger brother. I mean, right behind me. We slept up in the attic. Dad finished it off, and our bedroom was up there. And we went home after that second night, and he told me, he said, I wouldn't have come unless you did. I wouldn't have gone unless you did. And I told Keith, I said, Keith, there's somebody watching your life. I don't know who it is, but somebody is watching your life, and their decision for Christ will depend on you taking a stand for him. Their decision for Christ will depend on you walking down the aisle and making public your decision for Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always." You remember the woman at the well whose story is told in John chapter 4. Jesus was there by himself. His disciples had gone into a village to buy something to eat. And he talked to that lady about the living water. The water that if you drink from, you'll never thirst again. And that lady who had had five husbands that was living with a man that wasn't her husband, she took a drink of that living water. And you know the first thing she did? She left her water pot at the well. She ran back into town and she said, "Come see a man that has told me everything I've done. Isn't this the Messiah?" And the whole town came out to hear him, and some of them believed on what she said, and some of them believed. They told her, she said, "Hey, some of us believed on your testimony, but some of us believe because we've heard him speak himself." Now, she wasn't trained. She hadn't had a chance to go to Sunday school. She hadn't had a chance to study the Bible. But she took a drink of that living water, and it was so good that she couldn't help but going back and telling her friends and the people that she lived in the same city with, "Hey, come and see somebody that gave me a drink of water that I'll never thirst again." And that's what Jesus wants us to do. In Romans chapter 10, verse 15, the Bible says, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Talking about people that tell others about Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible talks about the armor of God. And in verse 15 it says, "And have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." In the upper room, when Jesus with his disciples, the Bible says he took off his cloak, wrapped himself in a towel, took a basin of water, and washed the disciples' feet. And I know he was teaching them humility. I know he was teaching them servanthood. But I think he was also preparing them to go spread the good news of his gospel. He said, I've washed your feet. Now I want you to use those feet to go tell somebody else about Jesus. So, it's up to our ankles. And I'll say to you tonight, come on in. The water's fine. Take the next 1,000-cubit march through that water, and the Bible says it gets up to our knees. And I think that represents us becoming people of prayer. You won't keep growing, you won't keep the blessings of God coming until you take that first 1,000-cubit trip and get it up to your ankles. And then once you get there, and once you start telling people about Jesus, you need to take the next 1,000-cubit walk and get it up to your knees and know that God is a God that hears and answers prayer. And you need to learn it for yourself. It's wonderful to have a mom and dad that can tell you and give you testimonies about how God answers prayer. It's wonderful to have people that you go to church with and they can give testimonies about how God answers prayer. But I encourage you tonight, you need to learn it for yourself. You need to have some firsthand experience where you pray for, and that's what prayer is. It's asking for something and God giving it to you. It may not be exactly what you want. He may not give it in the timing that you want, but God answers prayer. And you need to learn from a firsthand experience that he's a God that answers prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not." When trouble comes, the first place we ought to go is to our knees. When sickness comes, the first place we ought to go is to our knees. There was a king in the Bible, one that worshiped God, one that was a friend of God, one that saw God work. And at the end of his life, he got sick. And instead of going to the God that answered prayer throughout his whole life, he went to the doctor. I'm for doctors. I said this morning, I'm for doctors. I'm for hospitals. I'm for operations. I'm for medical drugs, not drugs. I'm for medicine. I'm glad we live in a day and age where they've discovered the things that God knew all along, how to make people better. But I said this morning, I'll say it again tonight, I think that all healing comes from God. If he uses a doctor, if he uses an operation, if he uses medicine, all healing comes from God. And when we get sick, the first place we ought to go is to God. This king knew that. He knew that he had a God that answered prayer. And instead of going to the one that could help him, he went to man. I love that story in the New Testament about that lady that had a flow of blood. And the Bible says she went to many physicians and she spent all her money. You see, doctors back then were the same as they are today. You can spend all your, and I like doctors, I'm just kidding, but you could spend all your money. And the Bible says she was none better. She didn't get any better. It wasn't until she came to Jesus Christ and touched the hem of his robe that she got healing. We need to know that God answers prayer. We're up to our knees now. Come on in, the water's fine. Come on in, the water's fine. We take that third 1,000-cubic walk through the water and it comes up to our loins. Loins in the Bible represent our strength, represent taking a stand for Christ. God told his servants throughout the Bible, gird up your loins, be strong. In Ephesians chapter 6, talking about the armor of God again, he said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. This trek through the water represents our Christian growth. When we get saved, we need to start telling people about Jesus. We need to take the next 1,000-cubic walk and learn that God answers prayer. Then we need to take the next 1,000-cubic walk and get up to our loins and know that we can stand for God in his strength. Brother John Hawkins has been working on Brother Ryan to get him to join the hymn, the Hogs in Ministry. And Ryan's been praying about it. He's talked to me about it a couple times. And Adam and I got to go to Christina's open house yesterday, and it was funny. I told Susan this morning, I said, you know, Christina, when she comes to church, I go back and say hello to her. It just seems like it pains her just to say hello to me. And I go to her open house yesterday. I walk up. She throws her arms around me and gives me a great big hug. And after we stayed there for a little while and we said, well, we got to go, she threw her arms around me again and gave me a great big hug. And I said, was she okay yesterday? And Susan said, yeah, she was just in a hugging mood yesterday. But Ryan told me yesterday when we were there, we got to talk for just a little bit. He said, hey, Pastor, I need a letter of recommendation from you because I'm going to go ahead and do what Brother John's been encouraging me to do. I'm going to present my application to join the Hogs in Ministry. He said, I want people to know where I stand. I want people to know that I belong to him. And when they see that patch on my back and ask me what it means, I can tell them that I'm a hog for Christ. That I'm standing for him. And we need to get into the water up to our loins. We need to stand in God's strength for Jesus. Number six, we take the last 1,000-cubic walk and it gets us in over our head. It represents being completely sold out to God. He has all of me. Every bit. I've surrendered all. You see, I'm in over my head. I have to depend on him. I have to depend on him. And the way to grow in Christ, and I know there's a lot of other things that are a part of it, but I think these five verses paint a pretty good outline of how to keep growing as a Christian, how to keep getting the blessings of God. Get in, ankle deep. Start telling people about Jesus. Go on and wade out further and get in knee deep. Learn that God answers prayer. He hears and answers. Go ahead and wade out a little bit farther and get up to your loins. Take a stand for Jesus. I was in a meeting the other day, and I was with my boss, and we were meeting with a couple other people. And the guy said, we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. He was talking about, I don't even remember what he was talking about. And my boss, and there was about 20 people in the room, and I've talked to you about my boss before. He's a Christian. And he stopped the meeting, and he said, you offend me when you say that. And I piped up and I said, you offend me too. When we talk about having a come to Jesus meeting, we're talking about people getting saved. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God falling. And we know that's not what you're talking about. And we would appreciate it if you would not use that terminology. And he said, I am sorry. I'll never do it again. We need to take a stand for Christ. And then we need to take that weight out deeper to where we get in over our heads and say, Jesus, you got all of me. I'm in over my head. I don't know what to do. I have to depend on you. You see, it's only when we get to that point that we're completely out of the picture. When we're up to our ankles, everybody can see us, ankles up. When we're up to our knees, everybody can see us, knees up. When we're up into our loins, everybody can see us from our loins up. But when we get over our head, they can't see us anymore. All they can see is Jesus. And that's exactly where we want to get in our Christian life, where people don't see us. They see the Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the truth that's even in this part of the Bible that maybe we don't understand sometimes. And I pray tonight that we'd be challenged by the truth that we've talked about. I pray we'd be challenged to wade out deeper in the water. The prophet Ezekiel says to us, hey, come on in. The water's fine. And I pray, Father, that we keep moving forward, that we wouldn't turn back, that we wouldn't stop, but that we keep moving forward until we get to that point in our Christian life where we're in over our heads and we have to depend on you. Father, I pray tonight if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, tonight would be the night they make the decision to receive him. I pray for Christians that are here. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us. And if there's something that we need to do, maybe there's something in our life that's stopping us from going out a little bit deeper, I pray, Father, you'd help us get rid of that thing tonight. And we'd go a little bit farther. We'd get a little bit deeper into the water. Thank you for loving us, for sending Jesus to die for us. Father, use the invitation as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.